This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Okay. Let's do this. Sorry, I had some in my throat there. You know, we've done so many of these, it's always hard for me to start them, even though we do this casual opening part. I don't know why, like saying the first words. Hey, welcome to episode 13 of The Showrunner. I always hesitate, have to clear my throat and get this moment of trepidation before I say it. Do you think that'll ever go away?
Probably not. I've never even had to do it, so. It's
weird. Would you want to do it for this one?
Hey, welcome to episode 13 of The Showrunner.
You are John Nastor, defender of humanity, serial entrepreneur, and serial hacker of entrepreneurs.
And serial lover. Morris. And serial lover as well.
Serial lover. Like
cornflakes?
Like S-E-R or C-E-R?
Oh, C-E-R. Cereal. Yeah, sorry. I don't really love cereal, actually, the podcast. I love cereal.
Whoa, wait a second. We may have to do a... Okay, change the thoughts on this episode.
Bold statement.
What do you mean? You're a podcaster. You have to love cereal and bow down at the altar of what it did and what it opened up for podcasters.
Oh, of course. Yeah, totally. But I don't listen to it. I listened to about 72% of the first episode, and my mind was just, I'm totally thinking about other stuff, don't care. And I was bored. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But no, I'm absolutely bow at the altar of it for what it did open up for podcasters. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean I have to enjoy it.
Interesting.
I also, I'm weird in the way that, I mean, maybe it's my punk rock thing, but I mean, I don't like bands that everybody likes. I don't like books that everybody likes. I try and not even do it intentionally, but it's just something in my head. I just kind of go against the grain in that way. I like unfound art. I like unfound books. It's something about it, man. So it's probably had something to do with it. When I was listening to Serial, I was like, oh, everyone's freaking out about it. I don't want to join in that water cooler conversation.
Huh. That, and you were probably thinking about Cereal the food as soon as you heard the name of it.
Yeah, totally. I thought this was about cornflakes. I totally thought this was about cornflakes, and I'm really upset now.
Well, and I thought this episode was supposed to be about confidence. And I don't know about you, but maybe we just use this as the intro, because now we're in it, we're talking, and I was able to get over just that initial trepidation I always have, that for some reason I'm going to flub the opening line, even though it's the same thing. Welcome to Showrunner episode 13. But you did it so well. Here we are. So let's just start talking about confidence. Because here's the thing. And I want to get your thoughts on it as well, of course. But I love nothing more than getting an email or some kind of message from a listener or someone in the course who tells us how what we've done has impacted them. And you and I got an incredible, incredible message this week from a listener. And we're not going to say this person's name, but you know who you are. And it was just incredible. It was long. It was detailed. And it was just wonderful. And one of the things that this person talked about, and specifically about the course, and something that she wished was in the course, was something about how to build the confidence in the first place to sit in front of a mic and speak on the air, how to believe that anybody will care. And considering how much that email meant to me, and I know how much it meant to you, the least we can do is cover that topic now. And so that's why we want to talk about this idea of confidence. And so let me just kick it to you, John, just kind of your thoughts in general on getting that email and that kind of interaction with an audience member. And then maybe just jump into, as you think back on your career as a podcaster, that first time you stepped behind the microphone, how did you get the confidence to do it in the first place?
So first off, that email. Yeah, it was amazing. I was still in bed and I read the whole thing like word by word through on my phone. And that's a terrible habit, but that's what I did. And like, wow, talk about like jump out of bed after that. And ever since I left Ontario a couple of weeks ago, started the road trip, and I've been meeting people who listen to Hack the Entrepreneur and who listen to Showrunner who were in the course for coffee. It's kind of blowing my mind. It's amazing to get to meet people that I've reached just through speaking into a microphone and putting it onto a website. It's an amazing thing. And then in that email, though, to have about the confidence, and it made me think about confidence in the way that it seems like I'm probably super confident, but when I started Hack the Entrepreneur, like less than a year ago now, I kind of tricked myself into being confident. And I like the story goes, I was out at a cottage with my family for the weekend and I read Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. And I literally closed the book and was like, I'm starting a podcast on Tuesday when we get home. And on Tuesday, I just started booking interviews. I'd never done an interview in my life. And I literally used momentum and not allowing myself time to think about how freaked out I was going to be to actually get freaked out about it. And I told myself, and I actually wrote it at the top of the sheet I keep on my desktop when I'm doing interviews, which has questions and sort of the format that I'm trying to work with. And it says in giant bold red lettering, to master anything, talk to the experts. So my thing was with an interview show was, if I can interview 100 people and I'm going to interview 100 people as fast as I possibly can, so I don't have time to think about this and question my own confidence, which I do often, is I will become an expert myself. And it was amazing because by like episode 80, I found myself on Sirius FM or XM with Randi Zuckerberg. And she was asking me and she was calling me an expert in business. And it was amazing. I was like, wow. So it actually happened at episode 80, more than interviewing 100 people. And it really just is that. And I literally put my head down and went to work and not allowed myself to question it, to edit stuff out, to just worry about it. And I guess confidently went into it, but confidently in a very non-confident sort of way when I go and think back to it. And I hope that's a good answer, but I think it's really important to point out that people who look the most confident, and I've got to speak to some amazing, brilliant people now who have done amazing things that I would think are the most confident, and then people talking to me about it. And all of us go through the same struggles, the same issues, the same self-doubts, all of it. And we just keep going. That's really the trick. And that's kind of the confidence. And it looks very confident from the outside, but inside there's just these like screaming voices of like, you can't do this. But at the same time, I don't actually have screaming voices in my head to clarify, but it really just is that. And the way I did it was I just found that trick. I used momentum and not allowing myself time to sit there and think about it for hours and listen back to myself and be like, oh, you sound shaky voiced, or you sound just like, no, I know I'm going to suck and I'm going to be good. By the time I get to 100, I'm going to be awesome at this. And it really is just kind of that. The confidence is different on the outside, I guess, than it is on the inside. It looks confident to everyone else, and often inside of us, it's not. And so it's not just you that feels this self-doubt. It really is all of us. And I think if somebody tells you it isn't, that they're kind of just full of it. And they're just trying to tell you that, or else they've been doing it, whatever it is you're talking about, their expertise, for so long that it's really second nature. But I mean, podcasting to me even isn't second nature at this point. But I can sound sound confident in it just because I've done it enough now, and I will continue to get better.
Yeah, and I think it's similar for me in that when I first set out to podcast, and this was back in my Midwest sports fans days 5 or 6 years ago, I looked at it and I was extremely nervous because I'd never really done anything like that behind a microphone before. But I just thought, everything I've done in my life that I succeeded at, I started at some point where I hadn't done it, and I either became good or I at least tried and realized it wasn't for me. But either way, it was the right outcome. And so the worst case scenario, if I tried, wasn't as bad as not trying at all. Because the worst case scenario would be having the regret of never having tried. And that really, it empowered me to stink at the beginning, because I was like you said, well, I'm going to anyway. But the only way to get good is to stink at the start. I mean, the first time I picked up a basketball when I was however old I was, 2 or 3, I didn't know what to do with this orange thing in my hands. And by the time I was in high school, I set a school record for 3-point percentage, right? When the first time I blogged, I didn't know how to write a blog post, how to promote a blog post, how to do any of those things. And yet a site that I created was getting millions of page views a month. How did those things happen? Because you do it for the first time and you allow yourself to stink and you just keep getting better through repetition and through attitude. And so for me, almost thinking through it logically like that helped me have the confidence to just step back and do it for the first time. And then you do it, you realize, okay, maybe this is worse than I thought, maybe this is better than I thought, whatever. But it's your starting point. And then you always have that as your measuring stick, and you just try and keep getting better. And it's like you said, you know, you don't want to be too self-critical at the beginning, but you certainly can be later. I actually just this morning went back and was listening to some of the early episodes that I did for Midwest Sports Fans. They're so bad. I mean, it's so obvious. I'm reading off a script. I'm talking softly. I'm talking too fast. Like, it's just, it's awful, but it was my starting point. And I'm proud of that, not because it's good, but because I started and it led me to here. And so I just think, you know, you talk about how to build the confidence in the first place. I don't know that you necessarily build the confidence in the first place. You just show up for the first time. However you get yourself to show up, you do it even though you're not confident. But then you build confidence by continuing to get better than that first time. And just if you have a big enough why, a big enough reason to do it, and you're learning new things, so you're improving, the confidence develops over time. And I think that to me, thinking through it like that, has always really helped me out. So, go ahead, John.
And so then there are some sort of tricks, though, like if you want to call them that, or hacks, perhaps. here we go. And those they're not going to work for everyone at all. But that's what I decided with myself, was I became confident enough in my non-confidence that I was okay with it. And then I just created some things, which was momentum. And I'm just going to literally start and stop thinking about this. And then I have this sheet on my desktop of my computer with questions and sort of a format. And it really added to my confidence of doing the first interviews that I ever did, because it still does, actually, to this day. The fact that when the person's talking and I'm taking notes, then I can also, I know that if they just stop talking, that was my fear. Like, they're going to be giving me an answer and then they're going to just stop. And I'm not going to know where to go next. And it's going to be really awkward. And so I just was like, well, I'll just have questions below that and under different sort of formats or topics. And so if the topic goes there, I know that I can literally just look at my computer screen and be like, oh, there's a question. Now I'll just sort of segue it in and we'll just go to that. And that made me way more confident. And it was just literally a trick that I did. And you can do these things, and you have to kind of just figure out what will make you confident, and then don't be afraid. Because John doesn't do it or Jared doesn't do it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. If that makes you confident enough to just go out there and do it, then by all means, do it. You don't have to then publicly tell everybody via a podcast like I just did, but but do these things and do them confidently, knowing that that's works for you. So perfect.
Yeah. You know, that idea is great. I mean, it's having the self-awareness to know, okay, what makes you, you know, your moments when you're really, really not confident, what can you do to help safeguard against those? So, I mean, that's a great example. You know, you're doing an interview, you're scared that it's the spotlight's going to be back on you, you don't have anything to say, build in a safeguard so that you have questions. I did that exact same thing when I was doing interviews, and still do that to this day. But understanding that, you know, whether it's having bullet points out, if you're going to do a monologue the first time that you're not going to have a script, at least have bullet points so that you don't get lost. If, you know, like for me, for some reason, you know, I feel comfortable giving a presentation in front of 600 people, but I don't like practicing or recording in front of like one other person. I don't know why. Like, it kind of weirds me out and makes me self-conscious. So, okay, if I'm recording an episode, go to somewhere private. So I don't have these little self-conscious voices in my head that are reminding me that there's this one other person listening while I'm doing it live. You know, so whatever little strange quirk about yourself can make you self-conscious or make you feel insecure, guard against it somehow by how you just set up your recording. And that's another way to just sift that out of the way and stay confident. Now, what about... you know, the second part of this person's question in the email was how to believe that anyone will care, because I think that's the other element of confidence, right? A lot of people are okay stepping up behind the microphone, but then they've got the recording, they've got it edited, but then you have to get it out there. And there's the next level of confidence that it takes to actually get it out there and get it to the people who need it. So how do you believe that anyone will care? How did you reach that point, John, with Hack the Entrepreneur, that anyone would care about these conversations you were having with people?
Because I absolutely, very, very clearly, in a detailed way, understood who my audience of one is. I knew exactly who was going to listen, and I made a show specifically for that person every single time. For the 6 weeks leading up to launch, every single episode I recorded, every word I said was for that one person. And I knew if that one person cared, that there was hundreds of thousands of people out there like that. But that one person had to care. And that it, I knew exactly who it was for. And if you don't, then you can't. Sorry, you're not going to come up with a trick or a hack or anything to trick yourself into confidently believing in the fact that you're making a show for someone that you don't know who they are and they're going to care. How can it's impossible? You have to know who your audience of one is.
That's a great great tip. And I think the other one is to understand that, to trust that the experiences that you've had are meaningful. I mean, unless you just go through your day sleeping in bed for 20 hours of the day, you're out there doing things, you're learning things, you're having experiences. And the paths that we walk are not so individual that other people cannot learn from those experiences. And so it's understanding that there are a lot of other people out there like you who have similar goals, who are walking similar paths, that have similar questions. Like, whatever it is, there are going to be people out there who will benefit from learning from your experience and your perspectives. And so that's the first step. And then doing what John said, really understanding who your audience is, down to that one person, you know, combining that knowledge of yourself, that knowledge of your audience, finding the intersection between the two. When you have a firm grasp of that, that will help you believe that people will care. Because when you have a firm grasp of that, actually, you can't not believe that people will care, because you understand what you bring to the table, you understand exactly who the people are that are going to benefit from it, and you just talk directly to them, and you don't worry about other people. And so the judgment of those people who aren't your audience, who aren't that audience of one, can be removed from your thought process and thus removed from any self-conscious feelings, because they don't matter, because you're talking specifically to the people who will benefit from your knowledge and your perspective. So, and that gives you confidence as well. So it's dawning on me, John, that this is the longest casual opening that we've ever done. I think we're throwing the format of the show out the window this episode.
It's a big, big, big topic. And it's one that we actually left out of the course, because I didn't even think about it. And yeah. I really started thinking about it when that email came this morning. And it's such a massive thing. And I think we're right in the way that we teach the audience of one how to clearly define that first off in the course, because that is, and I just inherently wasn't thinking of it, but that's just kind of, I knew that that's where the confidence sort of came from, but I didn't think to lay that out. It was interesting. And so, I mean, that's why we completely changed the topic of the show today, because of that, and because it's such a massive, massive thing. And it is, like, with the people I've been meeting with, the listeners, it's It is. It's a huge topic, and we need to cover it better. But although I feel that we do cover it in the way of the audience of one and that sort of thing, we show people how to add the value and to clearly define where you're going to hit the market. So that allows you to be confident. But before you start, you still have that non-confidence and you need to work through that. So,
I think the other way that we cover it in the course is just having the community, having the group. I think a lot of people find strength in seeing these other people that are on a similar path or learning from their experiences and just being able to share and ask questions, get feedback on artwork. Like that, all of that stuff will help to build your confidence, finding that group. Now, here's the thing. So, you know, we are going to talk about this more in the course, and I've got the perfect person in mind to help us do a lesson. And we were going to leave the second part of this episode open to post some of that, but clearly you and I have hijacked our own episode. I guess we can't really hijack our own episode, but we've hijacked our plans for this episode. So that will someday, we will definitely post a snippet of that in a future episode of The Showrunner, but it's not going to happen right now. But here's what I want to do right now, John, because let's cover this other topic that we were going to save for a Showrunner short. I think it fits better right here. Because you were just telling me before we went on air that there is something that you're not confident. It's an episode that we've been talking about doing. You were going to do it alone, and you're struggling with the confidence for it. And so let's talk about that right now. I mean, I think we might as well. Why don't you describe it first? So we were going to do the Showrunner short. Tell us what it's about. Tell us why you've been struggling to get this thing recorded.
I don't know the exact reason why I'm struggling with it, but I am struggling with it. Early last week, you said, John, you should do a Showrunner short. I've done all the Showrunner shorts. You asked me very nicely. And I was like, yes, okay. And then I didn't do it.
Sound very nice.
And then that was for like a Friday Showrunner short. It didn't. Then on Friday, you're like, well, we could still make it for a Monday Showrunner short. Okay. And I've been like struggling with it in my head, like walking around, trying to go through how to do it. And what it is, the episode, it's a short. Not all your shorts are short, so it could be long. But it's a monologue about me. I guess it's making connection, right, with your audience. And this is something I'm going through now for the first time ever. And it's crazy. It's so good. But I've been getting to meet listeners of Hack the Entrepreneur and Showrunner and people from the Showrunner course in Vancouver, where I am now, or traveling along and having coffee with people, going for walks with people. It's amazing to me. It's mind-blowing that people are listening and want and have made that connection that I've talked about and that I knew in theory that you make this connection with a listener because it's so intimate podcasting. But it's really weird. The time earlier this week, I went out for ice cream with a lady who lives in Vancouver, and she was so excited I thought she was actually faking it, but it turns out she wasn't. And then she started like just saying these things to me, like just small snippets of my life that she'd listened to through Hack the Entrepreneur in intros or outros of things I talk about. And she was laughing about how she's like, this is a really weird dynamic because she's like, I feel like I know everything about you, John, and you know nothing about me except for my first name. it was really, really, really strange, but amazing, right? So then she went into like a 15-minute story about her life because she felt like she had to share everything with me because I've already shared everything with her. And I don't even share that much necessarily in my episodes because my episodes are about the guest. And yet I'm making this connection with people, and it's just truly, it is amazing. And I was struggling with doing it myself because it's a monologue, and even doing this show with you was hard for me at the beginning because my successes have all come from doing an interview show in a super structured way that I've created to do it. And that's how I do it. And I don't vary from that because I know that that's what my audience wants. And that's what I make for them. People who want something else, I just tell them, sorry, go somewhere else and find that. But my audience wants this and I make this show for them, but it doesn't allow a lot of time to talk about me, but it still does enough that I'm making this insane connection with people. Like in another 2 hours, I go meet another person who is for coffee that is wants to meet with me. I can't believe how many people just in this one city listen to me speak, like either on their commute to work or when they're walking their dog or washing their clothes. It truly blows my mind. But the whole thing was that doing a monologue is something I've never done ever and into a microphone. And although I just did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how hard was that?
Because I know you're sitting there, I guess. But see, it's funny, right? So I guess that's my
trick. I actually left. I went and got a piece of pizza. So I'm not sure what you just said. You were all on your own.
So I guess when I'm talking about tricks, I mean, I could just call you up and be like, hey, can you just sit on the other end of Skype for me so I can give a monologue?
Hey, will you just prompt me with a question real quick?
But it's something that I just, and I built it up so much in my head just falsely that then it was just literally a hurdle I couldn't seem to overcome, which I just did. And I know that that's maybe not right or whatever, but that's how I did it. That's what I did in my head. That's how we deal with things. We deal with things in strange ways. We're human beings, right? And mm-hmm. And now that I've done it, now I probably feel like I could do it because I did it, done it for the first time. And maybe I did it well, maybe I didn't. That's whatever. I did it for the first time. And now I feel like I actually could do it again. And I feel so much better just having done it. So thanks, Jared.
Hey, that's why we're here. And you'll have plenty of other opportunities to do Sherwin or Shorts. You'll have to figure out a different topic now. Now, hopefully you'll have more confidence to do that. But I think that's, you know, and again, that's one of those times when if you're struggling with confidence, sometimes just admitting it to someone is the jump you need to get past it, because then you admit it and saying it out loud makes your lack of confidence seem silly, or you realize, hey, this is the hurdle. What I need to jump over this is X. Maybe that's a prompt. Maybe that's just someone there to make it seem like a conversation to you, so then you feel comfortable just saying the monologue, whatever it, you know, whatever it is, you know yourself. That's where that self-awareness comes in. But taking some kind of action a lot of times helps to move us closer to the goal, and we get confidence just by doing. And so I think that's really the lesson of this show. Is I don't know that you necessarily have the confidence before you start. You start and you gain the confidence. And I think that's, you know, that's probably one of the overarching messages of the whole showrunner is just start, just show up. And yeah. It seems, I don't know, maybe that seems like a simplistic answer sometimes, but I also think sometimes it's the only answer.
It absolutely is. And I forgot to end my miniature monologue by saying, if you are in Vancouver or you're going to be in Vancouver this summer, I would love to meet you. Or if you're going to be at Podcast Movement 2015,
yes,
Jared and I will both be there and we would absolutely love to meet you.
We will be there. And
you don't
we are
need
going
to be, you don't need to be in the showrunner course even to, you just have to be a, just listen to our show and we'd love to meet you. We really truly would.
Yeah, we would. Same thing. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, let me know because I'd love to meet you as well. Okay, well, that was the longest opening that we've ever had.
So, now on with the show.
Right, now on with the show. So let's jump into our listener question. So our listener question is brought to you this week by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, which we are going to be reopening Thursday, June 25th. That is actually tomorrow from the date that this episode goes live. And instead of John and I telling you more about the course, we actually decided to let someone who's in the course tell you about the course. Let's listen to what she has to say. What's the biggest thing that you've gotten out of the course?
So the biggest thing that I've gotten are really the small things. The small things that you wouldn't think about. Like everybody in courses, like if you go to a conference or if you go to look online at blog posts or even other free material that's out there, people talk about all the big things like sound quality, how to interview, different things like that. But what's been most helpful for me are the little questions that you would never think to ask anybody. Like yesterday, as I was recording in GarageBand, I had no idea how to, I didn't know anything about an AIFF file, so I wouldn't have even known that existed. I had heard of the Levelator, but I think if I had gotten to a place to where I needed to convert an MOV file to a different file type and I didn't know how to do that, it would have just sort of derailed me and I would have spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. But instead, I just popped a question in the group forum, the Facebook forum, and I had my answer. And the solution to the problem took less than a minute. And getting the response back was very quick and it saved me a ton of time. But I never would have thought to search that out in advance of taking this course or in my own research and study. So things like that that can really derail your effort are invaluable because you have a group of people ready to help you.
Very interesting. And your show will be where? Because you haven't launched as of today, right?
Right. It'll be on IamTheOne.fm.
Oh, you did get IamTheOne.fm.
I did. Very the nice. .fm was great. Another thing that I picked up from listening from this great. Course. So when it came to podcasting, which was a totally different and new medium for me, getting over that hurdle of starting something that you've never done before, even though you know more of the basic elements of the content that you're trying to produce, it's a whole different medium. So going through the course gave me the confidence specifically of all the moving parts that I needed to think through to be able to make this work to grow my business. So if I hadn't gone through the course, I would have been sort of piecing things together and I might have had a very frustrating experience and said, you know what, you know, this podcasting thing isn't gonna work. But now my mindset has changed completely and I have a much clearer view of how to work the podcast from the launch, from the first initial 8-week period and even over the long term. I've got that vision and going through the course has given me the information and the support and the accountability that I need to be able to move forward and create a remarkable experience for my audience.
Ah, very cool. I love that phrase that you ended with right there. Well, Sonia, thank you. You were one of the very first people who signed up. You've been one of the most active people in the community. So thank you for sharing your experience with everybody now who's listening and trying to decide if the Showrunner course is for them. I appreciate
my it. My pleasure. I hope to see them all inside.
Yes, absolutely. And go to showrunner.fm. As we've said, we're reopening the course Thursday, June 25th. It'll be open for a week. And the way to get details about joining is to be on the email list. And that's how you can get the best price that the course will be offered for. So showrunner.fm is the place to go. Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
Okay, and now our listener question, which is from Bob Hendershot, who I do know, who is from here in Dallas. And he asks, is it a good idea to repurpose your speech into a podcast? What do you think about this, John? Or are you going to kick it right back to me?
I am not confident enough yet to give speeches. So to tie it all together nicely.
It all comes back to confidence.
So I don't know, but Jared's going to give you an awesome answer for that. But I do want to say that you should absolutely, in every piece of content you create, think of how you can repurpose it. Because you've either written or recorded or done a video or something, you've done it and you've put your passion, your heart and soul into it. But not everybody watches videos. Not everybody listens to podcasts. Not everybody reads blogs. So spread that out as far as you can to as many different mediums as you can, because you still, your audience or might still be there and wanting to hear from you. And it's a lot harder to create new content than it is to create just the same content across multiple mediums. So absolutely repurpose as much as you can. Almost focus on repurposing as much as you do on creating new content, because you'll become much more prolific in getting your message out there.
That was a very useful answer stated with immense confidence. Very well done.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, is it a good idea to repurpose your speech? Yes, because repurposing is a good idea. Damien and I actually did a recent series on The Lead about this. I will post the links to that in the show notes. And I actually did repurpose a speech into a podcast. It was a recent episode of The Showrunner. It's a Showrunner short. I took the presentation that I did at Authority Rainmaker, which that presentation was called Become a Showrunner, the Four Essential Elements of a Remarkable Podcast. And I basically just gave that presentation and recorded it and posted it as a podcast along with as a video with the slides, so you could follow along with the slides. And the reason I wanted to do that is because so many of the ideas that I put into that presentation were ideas that we kind of workshopped on the show and that we've talked about in the course and that we've talked about in emails with listeners. And it seemed unfair to only give this presentation to the people who were at Authority Rainmaker. I really wanted to share it with everybody who inspired it. And I thought it had useful, good information in it. And hopefully it did. And hopefully people were able to get something out of it. But it seemed like a good idea for a short. And again, it's a way to leverage time that you've invested in creating content to putting it out in other mediums so that other people can see it. So the short answer to that is yes. And it's not just repurposing your speech into a podcast, but it's repurposing your speech into blog posts, into slide shares. And that goes the other way too. You know, when you're thinking about creating a speech, look at blog posts you've done, look at podcasts you've done. You don't have to create something totally new. It's going to be new just because it's in a new medium and a new format. But you can take ideas you've used and that your audience has really responded well to, and that can help inform you. It should help inform you what should go into the presentation. So excellent question, Bob. And the answer that John and I both have stated confidently is yes. Now let's move into this week's podcast recommendations. John, I will allow you to do the honors of going first.
Excellent.
And this is a monologue, so, you know, I hope you're okay.
Also, to really sort of, I got to go back because this is getting really kind of weird. But in our opening intro, our 30-minute opening intro, you said how rehearsing or recording in front of even one person is really, really hard for you. It makes you really nervous.
It does.
And I was going to say, yeah, I know. Like if I think somebody's listening to me record, I just freeze up, can't quite do it. I need to do it by myself. But because we started a half hour late and because we've gone on for way longer than we expected, my family has now come home.
Oh, very nice.
And so I am now recording this with people listening. And
so they're watching you talk into a sweater draped over a microphone.
Yeah. Just, wow, look at the professionalism going on here. So my podcast recommendation for the week, Freakonomics Podcast by Stephen Dubner and Stephen Levitt. I am a huge Freakonomics fan. The book was 10 years ago or something, I think. It's great, great, great read. But I like this episode for not just the content, but I think it's worth a listen because it covers some different things. So the episode is called Failure is Your Friend. It was published on May 21st, 2015. So they don't number their episodes, so that's something. They have a very popular podcast, but they don't number the episode titles, which we've discussed. But this is also a rebroadcast from last year, which is interesting with the repurposing, right? Because they are taking their greatest hits from just last year and they are putting them out again this year for their new listeners. Interesting, right? And they clearly state that it's a rebroadcast so that if I've been listening for over a year now, which I have, I can clearly not have to listen to it and be like, oh, I've already heard this. It's great. It's a brilliant, brilliant sort of thing. And it just shows the flexibility of your show that you can do these things that maybe are different from other shows. And I really like that. And then the other thing is that they play with format a lot. So it's hosted by Stephen Dubner. They're partners. They wrote the book together. But it's hosted by him, meaning he does sort of monologues here and there. Their intro is all backed by music, quietly played below them, which is kind of interesting. And then they break into introduced by another voice, and then they break into like an actual conversation that has no music. And then it's kind of like interview style. So it really mixes formats. And I think it's really, I love the content. I love the two guys. They're brilliant. And I really liked, and I wanted to share the whole rebroadcasting and then the format style, because I think it'll be of interest to a lot of the listeners.
Yep. Great episode. I've listened to it, and obviously a great podcast. My podcast recommendation is episode number 11 of This Is Your Life, which is Michael Hyatt's podcast. And this is actually back when he first started the podcast. and it's The Secret Power of Naps. And after I listened to this, I actually started incorporating naps into my daily routine for a couple of months, and I got away from it. And that's one of the reasons why I recently listened to this podcast, is I want to get back into it. And what I really love about it is, I mean, the information is really good, but I love how Michael Hyatt structures it, both his podcast and the show notes, because he has a topic and he's always got some kind of numbered list or some kind of structured way for you to think through whatever the topic is. And it helps to really keep you moving forward throughout the show. But it also helps that you can go back to the show notes, and then he's always got those numbered lists or bulleted lists, whatever they are, right there, so you can get that reinforcement. And if you forgot what one was, you can go back and see it. And it's just a good way to reinforce the content and the lesson that he's trying to teach in whatever the episode is. And he has a lot of really great episodes in the This Is Your Life podcast. But The Secret Power of Naps, if you want some kind of empowerment for taking a nap in the middle of the day, to know that a lot of smart, famous people, productive people throughout history have done this, and then how to do it, that's a great episode for you to listen to.
Naps. Who doesn't like naps? Seriously.
Naps.
Who naps does are not wonderful. Like naps?
I know. It's one of those things that you got to kind of force yourself to do, because you know, there's always so much to do every day. So you got to, that's why it's important to understand the benefits of naps, so that we can weigh that against what we're doing every day and say, okay, but it's still very important that I do this for my long-term health and creativity and all that good stuff.
And
all right, everybody. Oh, yes.
The call this, to action.
Yes, this concludes Showrunner episode 13. And what we want to say here as we close is simply to get on the email list. And you do that by going to showrunner.fm. There is a big box that you'll see as soon as you go there. You just enter your email address and you are on the list. Now, you may be asking, why should we join your email list? And the answer is quite simple. Number one, you will get show updates. But number two, and more importantly and more urgently, the Showrunner Podcasting course is reopening for 1 week starting on Thursday, June 25th. It will close again the following Thursday. And the reason why this is important is because we are only opening the course for this week to the people who are on the email list. We are going to be doing a bigger, larger, more general launch later on this summer, but we wanted one more opportunity for the people who have selected themselves to be in our audience and who have given us the privilege of having their email address so that we can communicate with you individually. We wanted you all to have one more opportunity to get the course at the best price it'll be available at. So before we raise the price this summer, you'll have one more opportunity to get it. You got to be on the email list to get it. So join the email list at showrunner.fm. And when the course reopens on the 25th, you will be able to get that email. And if you are listening to this after Thursday, June 25th, but it's before Thursday, July 2nd, still get on the email list. And as soon as you do, you'll immediately get an autoresponder email that will give you the instructions for how to join the Showrunner Podcasting course.
It's do you have anything to...
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I'm really excited. And so you've listened to the episode. We mentioned some things like the audience of one, and then dealing with confidence and the tricks I sort of used, which was my interview template that I have in front of me. And this, when I said I take notes during my episodes, I have this PDF that I've made that has all these different sections of things, places I can write to make it easy for me to do a good interview and do it confidently. And I mentioned those, and now I want to mention them again, because those are all directly downloadable within the course. And the audience of one is a module that we walk you through step by step of how to understand who it is you are speaking to, who it is that's in your audience, and then to be able to confidently podcast and run a show towards them. So I just wanted to clarify that and to make it known that that stuff is all in there. Literally everything I've done with Hack the Entrepreneur, I've almost PDF'd and put it into the course because I know that I've worked out a lot more than I even thought that I worked out over the last like 100 episodes now. So yeah, you have 1 week, June 25th to July 2nd, and then the big launch comes this summer, and it's going to be good.
Not to mention the brand new lesson about confidence with the perfect guest to talk about confidence, which will be in the course. Well, actually, I guess I shouldn't promise that yet. It may not be in the course as soon as you sign up, but at the very least, it'll be coming soon, and we will have it in there within a short time. I just committed us to doing that. I hope you don't mind.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, that's a trick to
put it out there publicly. Yeah. And now we have to do it. Excellent.
This has been fun, man. This has been fun. Good episode.
This was. It went in a completely different direction than I thought it was going to. But
that's okay.
I think it is okay.
Yeah.
I think it is okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And if we don't see you, well, yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay, I guess we just recorded the full episode.
Yeah, just like that.
That works.